Great to have you here for the webinar, 10 helpful things to do when your church stops growing. And kind of going to talk about what stops the church from growing, but also some things that you can do when your church stops growing, which I know church growth is a big area for pastors. And thanks so much for joining me today after the last week's hiccup, but we move on. We're here today. We're live. Everything is working. Why don't you jump into the chat box on the right-hand side there. Introduce yourself if you'd like to. Tell us where you're from, a bit about yourself if you want to, whatever you want. There's people live right here with me. If you'd like to introduce yourself, jump in the chat box there. I'm streaming from Perth, Western Australia, great continent of Australia, and here on a beautiful late spring day, gorgeous day outside. You'll notice also on where the chat box is on the right-hand side, there's a questions area. If you want to ask a question at any time, you can jump in and ask a question. Hey, Jeff from C3 Church, North City, Hamilton, the great nation of New Zealand. Welcome. Great to have you here. Great to have New Zealand represented. Welcome along, Jeff. Good to have you here. There's that questions there. Hi, Rosalie from Casey over in Victoria, an Australian. Thank you so much, Pastor, for joining me as well today. You can go into full screen mode. You'll see that just on the left-hand side. You can click on full screen mode and get in there as well. And also, I'm going to just take us into Facebook Live. I'm just kind of setting that up now. And we'll just kind of get that happening as well. So we'll go out into Facebook land as well. So today, I'm just waiting to see if any more people are piling on. Just going to give people another few seconds to pile in as well. And yep, Facebook Live is going to be happening out there. Chris Brown from New South Wales, another part of Australia. Welcome, Chris. Great to have you here as well. You can go into full screen mode. You'll see a little button there. Go full screen mode, and I will put the presentation up and flick between me and the presentation as well. And if you want to ask a question or respond to a poll, I might put up a couple of polls through the webinar. You'll have to go out of full screen mode to do that. You'll also notice a couple of boxes there. One's message, John Finkelde. You can send me a private message if you want to connect. If you want to book a time with me, 15-minute time, just to have a bit of a chat about anything I'm sharing today, about some of the resources and consulting, coaching I do, just you can book a time at anywhere there. Hey, this is live. This is last week's cancelled one. This is the actual one that I meant to do last week, but this is the live one. This is not a replay right now. We'll be available for free replay afterwards, but okay, this is live and coming to you from Perth, Australia. Hey, Rowan from New South Wales, from Sydney. Great to have you here as well. So you can message me, book time with me, and you can jump in and do that. Okay, thank you for that. All right, let's begin to jump in here. What do you do when your church stops growing? It's a real good question. Tell you a little bit about me first. 30 years of pastoring in my own church here in Perth. I've got an MA in leadership. I have a diploma in professional coaching, so I've got some academic sort of tools there behind me. Last 7 years since starting Grow a Healthy Church, I've been consulting and coaching full-time with pastors, Australia and also overseas into Europe, UK and New Zealand, working across about 10 different denominations. And I've done over 100 on-site consults with churches over those 7 years, working across all different sorts of size churches and all sorts of different denominations as well. We'll benefit from this webinar. People who feel that their church is stuck will benefit from this webinar. If you feel like your church is not going where you want it to go, you feel like it's kind of, just not moving in the place where you want it to move to, this will be beneficial for you today. Also, people whose leadership lives feel stuck, and sometimes it's not just the organization, it's not just the church that feels stuck. Sometimes the pastor or the key leaders in the church can feel stuck. They feel like they're not getting where they want to be in themselves. So this webinar will help you, I think, at a personal level as a leader, as well as in regards to your church. We also benefit from this webinar. People who are coping with no church growth, because when a church feels like it's not growing, it's not moving forward, it's not fulfilling its mission, its vision, its assignment, its call, then there's kind of, you have to kind of work out how to live with that, because there's all sorts of emotional things around that. There's all sorts of feelings of that. There's all sorts of thoughts, and you have all sorts of incredible questions about what's going on in my world. And hi, Martin Webb, just joining us as well. Thanks. Good to have you here from another pastor in New South Wales. And so when you're trying to cope with no church growth, it's learning some mechanisms of how to deal with it and how to cope with that. So if that's you, your church is not growing either at all or at the pace you want it to do, I think this webinar will help you cope with that and also help you work through that. What will you get today? Well, next steps. I am a huge fan of next steps, of what do I do now. In the 100-plus consults I've done with pastors around the globe, what I always leave a pastor with is distinct next steps. In fact, in a consult, I just finished one in Australia and Tasmania this week. In the report, there's what to do in the next 48 hours, the next 7 days, the next 14 days. I kind of plan out the next couple of weeks, not entirely, but plan out a few action steps for the pastor. So you get some next steps, things that you can do, things that you'll be able to take away from the webinar. This is one of my passions. What else will you get today is increased clarity. Increased clarity is just one of the great gifts that I think come to us when we get some extra learning, some extra knowledge, some extra information, is we kind of get more clear about who we are and what we're doing and where we're at in the season that we're in. I think this is so important. Why? Because whenever you have confusion, it tends to produce timidity. Whenever you have uncertainty, you tend to get more anxious, more fearful, more kind of like, oh, I have so many options. It's like going into a supermarket and seeing 25 different breakfast cereals and going, I'm overwhelmed with option. Would someone just spotlight the cereal that's best for me and I'll take that? And so when we have clarity, I think we get far more decisive. And I think that plays into more hope for us, more confidence, and we feel better about what we're doing. What you also get today is some useful resources. There's a special bonus for you as webinar attendees, webinar viewers today. I've got a special bonus at the end that I'll mention to you in regards to the resources that I provide. I have a resources hub, which is a one-stop place to kind of get your resources, whether audio, video, or PDF, reading, whatever you like. And I've got some useful resources today. I got free resources for you today. I'll tell you a bit more about that later on in the webinar. Yeah, Sharon, good to have you with us as well. God is not the God of confusion. He lives in clarity, absolutely. And I think when we move into that clarity, it strengthens us. And even if it doesn't kind of immediately impact our church growth, just the fact that, hey, I know I'm focused on the right things. I know I'm pulling, as it were, the right levers. I know I'm doing what's important to do, what I'm called to do, what I'm meant to do, what I'm wired to do. When you do that, I think there's a hope and a confidence and a faith that comes in at that time as well. What else will you get today? Actionable solutions. I love solutions to problems. I know you do too. When you got a problem and there's a solution, it is just like a cold glass of water on a hot summer's day when you can go, okay, that'll work. I'll do that. And I will give you some actionable solutions today that will help give you some clarity and some next steps as well. So what stops a church from growing? Yeah, going. Well, maybe a bit of a Freudian slip there. What stops a church from growing. And it's important to think about the various elements of not only what to do when your church stops growing, but maybe even some of these ideas of what stops a church from growing can give us some solutions in terms of actionable steps for us to take. There's a number of things that stop a church from growing. Location is one. Location, the place where your church is, will have an impact on the size of your church and the growth of your church. So if you're in a regional town that's having an economic downturn and people are leaving because there's no work, they're going to other places where there's more work, then it's hard to grow your church in that environment. And I know in our own nation here in Australia, with mining towns that have booms and busts, when the place is booming, the economy's booming, people roll in and get into that whole environment, and they're Christians as well. They rock into church. People have life change. They come to Christ, and so there's a boom. But when the busts, and I've seen this in our own nation, that there's a downturn also in the size of the church. So the location of your church does make a difference. The population size, the transport, the infrastructure, all the various things. You know, if you're church planting in Singapore and you plant near some apartment blocks, man, you got thousands of people. But if you're on the edge of a city and people are more spread out, it's more kind of half rural, half city, dormitory suburb, that location will affect your numbers and your growth options as well. I think another thing that impacts church growth and stops a church from growing is cultural disconnect. When you look into a church, and in that church, kind of in a car park, you'll see Mercedes-Benz, like in my slide here, and then you'll see kind of a BMW and an Audi. So people who have got some money attending that church, but in the suburb round about, there's 25-year-old Corollas. There's kind of a couple of broken down Hyundais. Not that Hyundais or Corollas are bad cars. There is obviously an economic disconnect between who's attending that church and who is living in that area. And the disconnect might be in stage of life. You might be in an area where a lot of singles live, and you're trying to build a family church, and you've got great children's ministry, but everyone around you is a hipster. And you're kind of trying to reach them. If there's a distinct connect between the culture of your church and the culture of the immediate surrounding suburbs, that can stop a church from growing. That can impact a church's growth. And it's best to work the culture of your church and connect it with the surrounding areas. So when people come in, they don't feel this massive disconnect. Now, you won't make everything similar, but you need some strong points that are similar with that. Second one is an inward focus. Whenever there's this sense of a country club, of the church exists for me, the church exists for us who are coming to the church, that will really slow down the growth of a church. And this is a thing that I found in our church, pastoring in our church, that every year I had to bring a series of messages and a refocusing of the church on the fact that, you know what, we're not here just for selfies. We're not here just for ourselves. This is not all about just us getting blessed and us getting well-fed and us getting taught and raising our families and living great lives and blessed lives. We are here to reach our community and to reach into the nations. And I find that people drift from that very quickly, very rapidly. And as a pastor, as a leader in the church, you need to bring your church back into that. And an inward focus will stifle evangelism. An inward focus will just cause a church to think, hey, we're fine, we're good. And when a church gets viable in its numbers and its finances and its leadership and everything, this can be a real struggle of just staying inwardly focused. Another thing that can stop a church from growing is, I keep saying that, don't we? Stop a church from going and growing. Maybe there is a connection there. Barriers to involvement. There can be problems of people getting involved in two particular areas, serving and in small groups. So when new people come to your church, and this is a great question to ask new people when they come to your church, how hard did they find it to get into a small group? How hard did they find it to get into serving? Talking a number of years ago with a pastor on the pastoral team of a very large church in Melbourne, one of the largest churches in Australia, and he told Di and I that if someone, that 93% of their new people left the church within a year if they didn't get either in a small group or get involved in serving. 93%. So in other words, in a real large church, the relational glue was not there. If it wasn't established within a year, pretty well guaranteed they were going to leave. So barriers to involvement are definitely a hindrance to church growth and to stopping a church from growing. Okay, next thought here, what stops church from growing? An exhausted pastor. Whenever the pastor is exhausted, whenever the pastor is run down, is tired, whenever the pastor is just kind of worn out, you'll find there won't be energy in the church. There won't be strength in the church. There won't be that sense of get up and going. There we go. There's that word again. Stop with terrible things when your church stops going, when it stops growing. When a pastor stops going, the church tends to slow down in a number of areas. And that may be due to a lack of holidays or maybe sickness. It might be a bundle of reasons there. But whenever a pastor is exhausted, and I'm talking about end of year tiredness, I got a bit of that going on at the moment. I got holidays in less than 2 weeks, looking forward to a break. I'm not talking about that end of year tiredness, but I'm talking about just exhaustion where it's hard to get moving at all. And here we go. Last one in terms of what stops the church from going, isn't it growing? I'm going to do that all day long. God has an impact on church size. There is a sovereignty in size. And sometimes the Lord will do some pruning. Now, that's not an excuse when a church is in decline to say, oh, our church is kind of getting pruned. Well, it might be in decline. You have to figure out what's going on. If you have a pruning season, then I reckon within a year you should see fruit from that. You must see more fruit. Otherwise, it's not pruning. It's declining. And maybe the Lord is pruning. Maybe the Lord is withholding growth for a period of time. Maybe the Lord is wanting to consolidate your church. Now, I'm not talking, if you're kind of like 70 people for 5 years, there's some other things going on there. But I think sometimes I just don't want to leave out this fact that regardless of our strategies and programs and tactics, a bundle of things I give you today that I know will be helpful for you to help your church go and grow, there's a God factor in all this that you can't avoid as a Christian leader. And it's important to do that as well. Okay. I might just put a little poll in and you can kind of have a look at this in the poll section. If you want to jump over there, that should pop up in the next little bit. Anyway, that has not appeared. Oh, I think I've sent it through to you. Anyway, whatever. I was going to try and poll the audience, but not sure how that went. And maybe you just got a little message that came through. Anyway, my first time using this particular package. Oh, there it is. Polls come up. What has stopped your church from growing? Oh, you guys have got it and already starting to answer it. Oh, thank you very much. That worked. Okay, first time using this particular webinar package. So I appreciate you helping me there. People have started to answer that poll of the sort of things. What's coming up also, if you want to jump on that poll, it's a very quick one, is the inward focus, the exhausted pastor as well. Yep, barriers to involvement. Yeah, other sorts of things. People are jumping in on the poll. Thank you so much for jumping in on that poll. Definitely, yeah, barriers to involvement is popping up a few times as well. When people feel like it's hard to get connected, and that'll affect the relational level as well. And the easier you can make it, and it's so important. This is, I think, a key reason to make it easier for people jumping in. Hey, thanks for doing that poll. Appreciate that. How do you know when the size is what God wants or there is a barrier, Kay asks? That's a really great question. I think maybe, Kay, as we go through the 10 helpful things you can do, one of the ways to work out is there a barrier is to look at these helpful things and see how many of them you're actually doing. And there might be some actionable steps that you need to take to test whether that's a barrier or whether this is kind of like, hey, the Lord's got us this size and we need to focus in on being healthy around this size. We need to focus in on health, not just growth. So I think it is hard to go, the Lord just wants to be a church of 200, 500, 1,000, 70. I think that's probably a difficult thing to nail that. I think it's best to move through the barriers and see what you can move out of the way, make your church as healthy as you possibly can, and then kind of work through it from there. And there's a fair bit of art and science to church growth and church health. I don't think it's all science where tick every box and then you're okay. I think there's a fair bit of art to it as well, where you have to kind of think through. Okay, here we go. 10 helpful things you can do when your church stops going or growing. I'm going to use both words now. I kind of like that. Thanks so much for jumping into that poll as well. First one is pray. I think prayer is the place, it's the refuge of those who are serving Christ. And I think prayer can be a place where you cast all your cares upon the Lord. You cast all your cares upon him, where you're just kind of going, you know what Lord, this is the thing I'm going through. I'm yielding it over to you. And then also you're praying for growth, for the Lord to bring in new people, new families, new young adults, new older people, new boomers, Gen X, millennials, the whole lot, the whole shebang. I think that prayer is the place where you can really focus on your own spiritual growth as a pastor and leader, your own spiritual renewal. You might want to do some fasting. Might want to do some binge, not binge Netflix, some binge Bible. There we go. Just start a new hashtag, binge Bible. You might want to do some binge Bible and kind of get in there and kind of really go, Lord, I just really want to seek you in this time. Really want to seek you and really want to know what you're saying to me at the moment. I think it's vital that we continue to wait on the Lord in prayer and seek him through every season, whether it's winter or summer, whether it's spring or fall or autumn, to actually wait on the Lord, to seek him. Make sure we're in a place where we're putting our burdens and anxieties over to him. We're worried about things in our church. Prayer helps lift it off us. Meditation in the Word. I know this is discipleship 101, but I find Christian leaders struggle in this area as much as the general person in the pew struggles in this area. And prayer, I think, is one of the most helpful things you can do, and even praying with some of your leaders about some of those issues as well. Second thing you can do is to enjoy Christ's exploits. If your church is not growing, trust me, the Lord is still working in your church. God is still working in the heart of your church. There are things going on in your church that are not related so much to church growth, but spiritual growth. And it's important to recognize that the spiritual growth of people in your church is a different scenario and situation to growth of your organization. So spiritual growth, where people are following Christ, developing in Christ, that's different to the growth, numeric growth of how many people you're reaching, your numbers, your attendance, and so on. It's a different deal. And I think it's helpful to actually keep an ear out and listen, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing amongst my people? And to, as a pastor and a leader, actually to ask people, what's Jesus been doing in your life in the last 6 or 12 months? Give people plenty of time. I'd say in the last 7 days, they might be, oh, I'm struggling. But ask them that question. Maybe after church this Sunday, ask a couple of people, what's the Lord been doing in your world 2018? Just find that out. Pastor, I would encourage you, if your church is not growing, or even if it is growing, visit your small groups and ask that question in a small group as an icebreaker. Let's share around the group. What's the Lord doing in your life during 2018? It might be heart. It might be some things that have gone really well, or it might be perseverance through difficult things that they're learning to endure. But enjoy the exploits of Jesus Christ. Let Jesus shine. Let it be known in your audience, in your own heart, that Jesus is working in amongst your people. It's important to do. Okay, third thing to do is refresh your visitor pathway. Why focus on this, John? Well, if your church is not growing, the only way that it will grow, there's only one way a church will grow. It's through visitors. It's through people coming in the front door. And so it's important to refresh your visitor pathway, to actually look at the digital door, the pre-service, the service, the post-visit, to look at the various things that your church is doing or not doing. In my roadmap in the hub, I put a lot of emphasis on this whole area of growing your church through visitors, that your church can do far better by focusing intentionally with visitors and working with visitors. So refresh your visitor pathway, because this is the way your church is going to grow. Number four, slay the comparison giant. In John 21, there's a fabulous story that really has impacted me the last few years, of where Jesus is telling Peter how he's going to die. He's cooked breakfast for them, got Peter to confess he loves him. And then he says, this is how you're going to die. He prophesies his mode of death. And Peter fascinatingly turns around to the beloved disciple and says, Lord, what about him? And the Lord says, well, what do you mean, Peter? If I want him to live forever, what is that to you? Follow me. And that little question there, I think, is a real good question for every Christian leader to wrestle with when it comes to comparing their level of blessing to another church's or another leader's level of blessing. Because you can kind of go, hey, how come they're getting blessed in a way that I'm not? How come he gets to live forever and I kind of, you know, maybe live forever, maybe I don't, I'm going to die? And the Lord's saying, what is that to you? And that's a great question to ask yourself. If the church down the road grows quicker than mine, grows bigger than mine, does things better than mine, what is that to me? Does it make me jealous? Am I envious? Is there a Goliath of envy that you have to slay? And I've had to work in my own heart. There's a great blogger and podcaster, Kerry Newhoff. He is amazing, the material he puts out, the quality of it. And I found myself getting envious of this guy and thinking, Hang on, why can't I get an audience like that? Why don't I have people follow me like that? Why can't I write stuff like that? It's just amazing. Come from nowhere in the last 3 or 4 years. And I've had to slay the comparison giant. So, you know what I started to do? I had to pray for Kerry and just bless him. Prosper his ministry. Let it go forward, Lord. Because you've got to slay that comparison giant, I think, to do well when your church is not growing. Number five, engage a consultant. Yeah. Is this a shameless plug? Well, I've got the Grow a Healthy Church logo on there for sure. But I think fresh eyes on your situation is always going to help you do better when you're not growing. Get a consultant in, get a coach in, get a friend in, get a mystery shopper in, get someone else in to look at everything you do, especially around your Sunday services or your small groups. I'm working with a church at the moment that I'm visiting 4 of their small groups, just going into the small group as an observer to watch and to give them feedback around their small groups. Get a friend to do that for you, someone outside your church. Get fresh eyes in. It doesn't have to be a paid consultant or coach. Happy to do it for you, but get someone in to have a look and they'll see things that you don't see. A shop blindness, you won't see stuff. Engage a consultant or a coach or a friend to help you out with that. Reflect on some questions. There's a good few questions, I think, to reflect on. Here's one. Who am I? Who am I? What's my gift? What's my assignment in Christ? What's my calling? Here's another one. What's my context? What are my opportunities or limitations according to my location that are connected with my location? There's another one. Do I have the energy level to increase my capacity as a pastor or leader? These are 3 good questions to actually spend time as a pastor and leader reflecting on these sort of questions of who am I? Where am I? What do I have? What's my energy levels? To actually think through what can I handle? What can I cope with? But also maybe my church is not so much plateaued as it's consolidating. This is where it's meant to be in my season of life. Or maybe it's, you know what, I need to lift my energy to a whole nother level where I can put more energy into growing the church. Here we go. Number 7, develop leaders. Give yourself not just to pastoring people, but give yourself to developing leaders. Start an emerging leaders group. Gather a few people together who are hungry and want more. Because when your church is not growing, you can get so discouraged and disappointed about that you can take your eyes off, I think, which is one of the key things that pastors should be doing, which is discipling people, developing leadership, bringing people into ministry and leadership roles, delegating, empowering, taking a few risks with people. Jesus took great risks with young John. He was 17 or 18 when Jesus called him, and he wasn't perfect. He was a racist. He didn't like Samaritans. He had a bit of hatred in his heart, but the Lord said, you know what, I can use you. Kind of take some risks with people, develop leads, focus in on your calendar and your time. Why is this important? Because when you're discouraged by your church not growing, you do get a sense of, you know what? I'm growing people. My church night may not be increasing numbers, but look at the quality of people I'm growing. So get your calendar, change a few things around, begin to pour into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, as many as you can people. That'll kind of give you some joy and some fruit that you can look at, even though your church doesn't feel like it's growing. Number 8, take a holiday. Yeah, have a break. I'm about to go on a holiday, my annual holiday. I'm going to have a few weeks off. I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to slow down. No email. I'm going to be off social media. I'm just not going to be doing much. Some of my automatic posting will go on. Hey, Sharon, thanks for that. You're so good at this. Not just what you're doing right now, but even just over coffee, let alone church-wise. Thanks, Sharon. That's very encouraging. Take a holiday. Make sure you have downtime every week. I'm a huge fan of pastors, especially pastors, turning their phone off for 36 hours just to really download everything and just get away. Learn to take a holiday at home. If you can't afford a holiday away, take a holiday at home. Switch off. Get the adrenaline out of your system. We live such complex, busy lives in ministry that I think it takes about, my theory is it takes about 10 days for a pastor to unwind and get ready for the holiday. And generally, when you build up to a holiday, the last couple of weeks, a bit frenetic getting everything done. Then you need about 10 days. Then you need about 2 weeks relaxation after that. So that's my theory on holidays, that you actually need a good 3 to 4 week break, relaxing and resting. It helps gets rid of all that overload and stress and anxiety, and you take a break. It will help your church get healthier, and maybe that might help in terms of growth as well. Number 9, renew your evangelism endeavors. Personal evangelism, a pastor or leader, and it can be hard for pastors. We kind of live in church life and church world, and we don't often have unchurch contacts. But I found in leading my church that I had to get out of the bubble of church world and connect with unchurched people and do that intentionally and deliberately, because I was working with Christians, I was hanging around Christians. My main time was with Christians. I had to go, I got to find some non-Christians in my world to intentionally be alongside, to understand their world, build relationships, and sharpen up my evangelistic edge. And I found doing that really helped my church, because they saw what I was doing, and I'd share my stories of disappointment and kind of exhilaration all the same time with them. And that would kind of encourage them as well. Number 10. Take some small steps. As we've gone through these 10 things, it's good just to kind of go, all right, what could I do? What step could I take today? You might have been taking some notes of going along, or you might watch and listen to the replay, but you're thinking, what steps could I take? Because I think rather than kind of go, oh man, I'm going to do some of all of these 10 things, to actually look through these 10 things, or maybe some of the things that are impacting church growth that we talked about at the start of the webinar, maybe it's kind of like, you know what, I can work on that and I can work on this. As you look at that poll and what's been a hindrance to people getting involved, maybe there's kind of a way for you there to take just a couple of small steps. You know, the last 7 years after pastoring for 30 years, I've worked with pastors for the last 7 years, and some of the results of that has been fantastic. Greg Jones, who's a pastor down in Tasmania in Australia, said this about me: I now have a sense of confidence to raise leaders in our church. As I've worked with pastors, one of the things I get to focus on is that developing leaders thing, because even if the church isn't growing, they can get leadership happening as well. Another pastor I've worked with is Ian Borkent in the Netherlands. He said this about me when I turned up and did a consult with them. We were stuck in some areas, but John helped us get unstuck. Ian is such a good guy to work with. And he said, yeah, we were stuck, but those fresh eyes help. Chris Brown says, number 11, hand the church over to John Finkelde. Well, there's a couple of things with that, Chris. You could have a go at that. I'm probably likely to say no. I think I'm 30 years of pastoring. I'm pretty well done with pastoring. I think I'm in my call and assignment niche at the moment. And also, maybe it's not time for you to hand over yet. I'm not just speaking to you, Chris, but I, when pastors say, look, I don't think I'm the person to take this on, I go, I think you might be. And if you come to that decision, fair enough. But I think you kind of might be the person to keep going. Carl Musselberger, who is a member of the hub that I have, that good on you, Chris. Glad you're going to stick at it. Yeah, I'm not going to take your church over, my friend, as much as I love you and your church and the Central Coast of New South Wales. I do like what I'm doing. Carl Musselberger, good friend of mine up in Queensland, says the hub is a more than useful tool for quick team training, also for long-term strategies. And the hub is one of the ways that I get my resources out to leaders and out to pastors and to churches for your teams in all sorts of ways. My good friend Jacek Oblowicz in Poland says the hub is an invaluable help in my journey of pastoring a church. The content is totally practical. I'm very practically wired. I like to see things that really do help people step by step in various stages. David Busby, pastors in Adelaide in Australia, the wealth of experience found within the hub has already proved invaluable, not just for quick wins, but helping us to sustain into the future. There's a few pastors that I've worked with over the last number of years. So let's kind of do a little short recap here. What have we discovered today? A couple of things we've discovered today. One is that options abound. If your church has stopped growing, you don't have to just throw your hands up in the air and say, oh, I can't do anything. Oh, that's the end of that. There are many options for you if your church has stopped growing. There's different things that you can do that you can throw yourself at. And I think also we've learned that nothing changes if nothing changes. One of my favorite proverbs, I wish I had written it. I don't know where it comes from, but it is a beauty. Nothing changes if nothing changes. If you don't change something, either in your world or in your church's world or in your heart or in your diary, nothing changes if nothing changes. Question here from Kay, and I'll have plenty of time for questions at the end here as well. Do you think going out to evangelize instead of relationship evangelism should be done? If so, do you think the pastor should be involved or train others to do it? I think if you want to go out, and I know some pastors who go out and do street evangelism, I think if you've got a heart and a passion to do that, a couple of pastors I've worked with go out regularly onto the street with a team from the church or by themselves, and they go and do street evangelism because they love doing it. I'm not wired that way. I wouldn't do it, but I think street evangelism still bears fruit today. People can say, nah, you wouldn't do that. That's old school. No, I reckon if you can go out there and start having conversations and connect with people, I think go for it. If that's in you, do it. The pastor should be involved. If the pastor wants to be involved, great. If you feel that will really help your church because you're involved. But if it's like, this is terrifying, I guess it'd be scary for anyone, but no one else wants to do it at all, then probably maybe not doing it. But I think if you've got a few people who want to do it and you want to have a go, maybe even saying to someone in your church who likes doing it and is good at it, so why don't you train me to do it? You train all of us to do it, even to bring someone in to do some training about street evangelism. I don't think it's a dead deal, street evangelism, if you want to do it. Why shut down one method because some of us don't like it? Use all methods, I think. So, Kay, go for it if you want to. Get some training into your people for it, and I think you'll find it it'll work for you if you work it. So nothing changes. So out of this webinar, do something that's good. Thanks, Kay. Appreciate that encouragement. Do something different out of this webinar. Do something different. Now, let me tell you about the special offer I've got for webinar viewees, attendees, people watching the replay as well. I'm opening up the hub to you for free for 7 days. And I know some of the folks who are on the who are on the webinar are also already members of the hub and enjoy it. But I want to explain the hub to you and also give you the opportunity to join the hub free for 7 days. And this is an offer I'm just giving to people who are on the webinar, watching the replay as well. The hub is a one-stop resource center for church growth and church health resources. And it's built around what you can see on the screen at the moment is 6 key elements. There's 6 there. I want superb Sunday services. I want to raise more money. I want to survive the rigors of leadership. I want to grow my church. and I want to develop leaders and I want to grow personally. There's a couple more there on small groups and productivity. And those big areas, those elements are basically a dashboard. Then let's say we click on the one here. It says, I want to grow my church. We click on that. And what you jump through to is another dashboard menu with all sorts of options about how to grow your church. There's a roadmap, which I'll show you more detail in a moment. There's book reviews. There's interviews with key pastors and leaders. There's quick wins, masterclasses, resources, a whole range of things that are in there. And they're presented in three different ways, video, audio, and PDF. So if you prefer to read, you can just read everything. Prefer to listen, you can download the audio or capture it through our app or on a browser. Very easy to get. Or if you prefer to watch, you just watch the video. So you can kind of get this on the run, down the cafe, at the gym, have a listen, have a read when you're sitting down by the beach, beautiful Perth summer, wherever you like. When you jump through into the roadmap, a roadmap is probably the most detailed area of the hub. There's, in this particular roadmap of wanting to grow your church, you'll see here how it works. There's about 12 different elements and lessons in the hub that you can jump into. And this is going to be free for 7 days. You can jump in, have a play. If you want to, you can jump in and download everything over 7 days and then cancel out and jump out. If you want to do that, feel free. Jump in and do that. I won't be hassling anyone about that. But you'll see there's video there. There's audio. There's download PDF and PowerPoint slides. So whatever way you prefer to kind of get your information, it's kind of there for you. So that's the hub. Let me throw up the link to that. And you'll see that pop up now. All you've got to do is click on that that little site there now. It says that little, sorry, on the right-hand side there, it says get now for free. Just click on that. It'll open a PDF. You'll get a PDF. Just click through on the PDF, and it'll take you through to the sign-up area. And you'll have the hub free for 7 days. No strings attached. Just get in there for 7 days. If after 5 days you think, not for me, you can cancel. It's very easy to cancel, and you can jump out. And while you're in there for 7 days, you can download everything. And I think there's a lot of great stuff in that hub. There's a lot of great resources that I've made available to pastors and church leaders just to help you out, to kind of, you know, work out how do you refresh a visitor's pathway? How do you raise more finance in your church? How do you survive the rigors of leadership when church is not going that well? So bundle of free material and material there that I think would be helpful for you. So sign up today, jump in and enjoy that. And Q&A. Do you have any questions you'd like to ask me about anything that we've covered in the webinar today? I'll be wrapping up in a minute. But if there's anything you'd like to ask me, any questions you'd like to pose to me, more than happy for you to jump in, pop a question. If you'd like to book a time with me, have a bit of a yarn about some of these things, feel free to hit the button of Book Time with John Finkelde. If you want to send me a private message, feel free to also send me a private message as well. And it's fabulous having you all on here. Thanks so much for being in the webinar. I'll hang around here for another 60 seconds or so to see if there is a question or so that people want to pose at me. People have posed a few questions during the webinar. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate you being on the webinar today. JFK is one of my nicknames that I've got landed with that I don't mind at all using that. Hey, Kay, thanks so much for joining us on the webinar as well. Really appreciate people taking the time to listen in, join in, do the polls, and also ask a few questions, have a bit of a chat as well. Marketing tips, Sharon. Can you expand on that a little bit in terms of marketing for churches? Is that what you mean in terms of kind of getting your message out there a bit more, connecting a bit more with your community? Hey, Jeff, thanks so much for the thank you. Thanks for joining me. Thanks, Rowan. And thanks. You love the hub and totally recommend it. Appreciate that as well, Rowan. Really appreciate that as well. So, Sharon, marketing tips in terms of church world. I think churches should be using Google AdWords and Facebook ads. I think churches, that should just be the norm today as part of their strategy to reach their community. You mightn't have the capacity to have a big budget, but I certainly would be endeavoring to get Facebook ads. Get your Google reviews up, your Google business page up, get reviews on there, get reviews on your Facebook page, get people doing that in leaders' meetings, church meetings. Make sure there's plenty of good reviews, plenty of good photos, good posts, podcasts, all that sort of stuff. Get things out there. Key thing I would say also is that I would say websites need to be very simple and aimed at your visitors. Service time map on the front page and aim your website at visitors. The Great Commission as a marketing strategy. Yeah, I think that's you're an interesting thinker, Sharon. The Great Commission as a marketing strategy. Go into all the world and make disciples. Simple. On the marketing topic, target audience similar to that in your church audience you wish to have. I think it depends, Kay. If you have a church that's a lot of older members, like 65 plus members, and you want to go for young families, then you've got to, I think, target the audience that you want. So I think it's a bit of both. If you've already got young families or youth or children, then you're going to go for more of that. Or you might say, you know what, we don't have anyone over 55. Target that audience as well. So I think it's good to do a bit of both, similar and also the ones you want, and test your ads, see what works, see what responds, see who piles in out of the ads as well, because I think then you can kind of test it. You run the ads for your older generation if you're trying to attract them for 5-6 weeks, see what happens. Run it for the younger generation, 5 or 6 weeks, see what happens. And just see what sort of results that you get. Great question. Great comments as well, folks. Okay, no more questions. So I think I'm going to wrap it up there. Thank you so much for joining me. And it's been great to be with you on the Hub as well. Been really good to catch up with you. And so hopefully this has been helpful for you. Hey, Martin, thanks a lot for joining me as well. What do you do when your church stops growing? There's 10 helpful things to do when your church stops growing. Bless you, Rosie. Thanks a lot. God bless you, folks. Take care.